nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
Plato said, "Take charge of your life. You can do with it what you will." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who take charge. Our first playmaker is assisting in an automotive legacy that his grandfather started, while our next playmaker provides outsourced human resources. With us today is the executive vice president of a bank that has just completed a merger that created one of the largest independent banks in North Texas. Well, our next guest is the CEO of a professional employer organization that gets it done. These great playmakers are Aaron Shelby. Aaron is executive vice president of Legacy Texas Bank. And Mark Sinatra. Mark is CEO of Staff One, and we're going to begin today's show with Mark. Mark Sinatra joined Staff One in 2008 as Chief Executive Officer. Staff One is a full-service professional employer organization which enables its clients to focus on growing their businesses while outsourcing critical aspects of HR and employee administration. Staff One provides strategic HR services, risk management, compliance management, premium employee benefits, payroll outsourcing, and tax administration. Staff One serves a variety of small to medium-sized businesses across the country. Before joining Staff One, Mark co-founded Gordian Capital, a private investment company that focuses on making long-term investments in lower middle market companies. He's worked with in the private equity, investment banking, consulting, and business process outsourcing industries. Well, Mark, with all that, thank you for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Well, in talking about that, I mentioned a little bit about HR, but many people don't really understand what you do. So what is Staff One, and how do you get it done with Staff One?
Staff One is a PEO, which stands for, as you said in the beginning, Professional Employer Organization. Specifically, what that means is we're an HR outsourcing company that provides the full suite of HR services that a typical HR department would provide to a company, such as HR consulting, HR compliance, payroll and tax administration, employee benefits administration, and finally workers' comp and safety management. And we provide those services to organizations that do not have an HR department, but they have a fractional need for those services, but they don't have the resources or the need to have an actual in-house department. So many of our clients tend to be small to medium-sized organizations.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's expensive to have an HR department, especially when you don't need all those people all the time. In addition, I've done some work with HR groups, and you almost have to be an attorney with all the legal things that human resource people need to know. So you are really the HR department for that company.
That's right. And so you Steve, you just hit on three C's right there: costly, complex, and complicated. And that's why we're in business. So to go back to one of your original questions, you know, how do we get it done? You know, that's really the it. You know, we provide these HR services at a cost-effective rate. It's a managed variable cost that fluctuates based on the size of the organization. So I think that makes sense, and particularly in today's economic environment where business owners are looking for ways to streamline their overhead, turn it from a high fixed cost to more of a controlled variable managed cost, you know, an HR solution is something that can make a lot of sense.
Speaking with Mark Sinatra, Mark is CEO of a company called Staff One, and their website is staffone.com. I spent some time on your website over the weekend taking a look at it, and it sets you apart from other companies that do what you do. Since no one has seen those videos as I have and looked at it, what is the difference between Staff One and the competition?
Good question. The Dallas market in particular is our largest market, but it's also the most competitive. So we do spend a lot of time finding ways to set ourselves apart. Here are a couple ways. First and foremost, we're the only accredited PEO that's actually headquartered in North Texas.
When you say accredited, what does that mean?
We have an accreditation that's called the ESAC accreditation, very similar to the FDIC accreditation for the banking industry. The ESAC accreditation requires us to be audited on a quarterly basis. It certifies that we have remitted and paid our clients' payroll taxes, all our fiduciary obligations, accurately and on time. It's the highest level of assurance that we're doing the right things on behalf of our clients. The second thing I would say is really the depth of expertise. I have made a decision, this is starting about 4 or 5 years ago, to hire employees, and particularly in the areas of payroll, benefits, and HR, that have deep levels of experience. So specifically, our HR management team has at least 15 years of HR management experience, and compare that to competitors, that's 2 to 3 times that of our peers.
Well, looking at your website, in addition to what you mentioned, just on the left-hand side where you can hit the tabs, you have reduce liability, retain employees, and attract talent. So you are also a recruiting firm to a certain degree with companies you work with. Is that correct?
It's partially correct. I mean, we do provide recruiting services to existing clients, but all of our clients use us for payroll and tax administration, HR compliance, HR consulting. If they have a recruiting need that pops up, we can certainly help them with that. But I want to be clear, that's not really the core part of our service. However, the reason that we have attract talent on our website is that we believe that a lot of the services that we provide position our clients to be the best employers in their respective market. And so by that very nature, by that definition, we believe we're helping our clients attract better employees.
Well, to a large degree, you've taken a tremendous burden away from these small to medium-sized companies so they can focus on what they know how to do best, and you're providing the HR piece of that for them.
That's exactly right. And that's you talk about getting it done. I mean, we help our clients grow. We help our clients, become better employers. Specifically, we did a study, this was 2 years ago, and we looked at our clients that at that time had been with us for at least 7 years. And on average, those clients had increased their headcount by 5 times. That's significant growth within that time frame. And we believe that we had some sort of either indirect or direct role in helping our clients really focus all of their attention, time, and resources on growing their business. And I think that stat shows that.
So you're giving them the ability to have that focus right there. Well, give us a state of the union on what HR staffs across America are facing as a result of recent legislation such as the Affordable Care Act.
Well, I mean, that's certainly the most sweeping form of legislation that's been passed that's directly impacted companies of really all sizes. It's not just companies that have more than 50 employees. I mean, it's companies, even if you have 5 or 10 or 15 employees. And really what it's done is it's added a lot of compliance requirements, a lot of administrative complexity. A lot of companies have now been charged to track on a monthly basis, their employee counts. So it's added a significant amount of burden, not just to HR staffs, but to certainly to companies that don't have an HR staff. And we're fortunate that through our technology solution coupled with our benefits department, we have a 100% turnkey ACA compliance service offering that enables companies to be 100% comfortable and confident that they're meeting the requirements of the Affordable Care Act. There's 854 regulations in the Affordable Care Act when you really get down to the nuts and bolts. So that's very hard for anyone to keep track of and be compliant with. They really need to have a partner more than now than ever before to ensure that compliance.
So you either have to be large enough to have somebody on staff that can follow all that or have a company like Staff One.
That's right.
Tell us about the ideal client that you like working with, the size of the client and what you do for them.
Sure. A couple stats here. The average size of our client is 32 employees. That being said, you know, we have clients as small as 2 employees. Our largest client has 650 employees. But they all share a common perspective. They understand the importance of HR in their business. They have what I like to call a getting better agenda. You know, they're looking for ways to grow or improve their operation. But lastly, they understand that while HR is important, they don't fully have that competency in-house. And they realize that partnering with an outside expert firm is really the best way to manage and handle that function.
It sounds like the kind of company you work with is one that's growing, and they're growing to the point where all of a sudden now they need an HR department. They don't know what to do, so they come to you.
Yes, that's a great way to phrase it there. You know, we call that really companies that are at an inflection point in their business, where what they did when they started their business with 5, 6, 7 employees worked well at that point, but what got them to have, 15, 20, 25 employees won't get them to the next level. And so that's really what our ideal client is a client that has experienced that growth, and they know to get to the next level that they need to professionalize and build up the HR part of their business. And, we're the company to do that for them.
And there's probably a number of companies or individuals listening that are in that 2 to 600 range, or about 30 average, that could benefit from Staff One. So tell everyone again how they can get a hold of you or anyone at Staff One.
Sure. Well, the first thing is, take a look at our website. Again, it's www.staffone.com. And we've got some great client case studies there. In fact, today we're releasing a client testimonial video that's going to be on our homepage. And you can hear it directly from our clients on how we've impacted their business. Like I said, we are headquartered in North Texas. 214-461-1124 is my direct dial. And my email is mark.sinatra@staffone.com.
And you can get all the additional information on our website, PlayMakersTalkShow.com. Mark, thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Again, Mark Sinatra. He is the CEO of Staff One. We're going to take a break, but don't go away. We're going to talk to a gentleman that will talk about cars, specifically Shelby cars. He's also the Executive Vice President of Legacy Texas Bank. His name is Aaron Shelby. We'll be back with Aaron right after this.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to talk about banking. We're also going to talk about cars. We're going to talk to Aaron Shelby. Aaron Shelby joined Legacy Texas Bank in 2003, and he's Executive Vice President over Commercial Lending as Subsidiary Manager, in addition to Legacy Texas Insurance, Legacy Texas Title, and the Legacy Texas Mortgage Division. Now, Legacy Texas Bank has been serving North Texas for over 50 years, with more than $6 billion in assets and 47 locations in 19 North Texas cities. Legacy Texas Bank is one of the largest locally based banks in the area. Aaron began his career at Inwood National Bank. He then owned and operated Mr. Brackett, which was a distribution business that sold to automotive aftermarket retailers. After selling Mr. Brackett, Aaron got involved with Legacy Texas Bank in order to represent the family's interest in the bank on a day-to-day basis. Well, Aaron Shelby, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, before we talk about the family name, the Shelby name, let's start with how and why you got in the banking business.
So I was a finance major and was looking for a job out of school and had an offer to work at Inwood during the summers. And it really worked out well. I wound up staying there for a couple of years after I graduated, then moved on. Didn't think banking was for me at that point in time. But after some other experience and getting a little more education, I came back to it in 2003. I really was excited to get back into it. The family owned the bank, and it was my father had been chairman since the late 80s, so it was a good way to get day-to-day representation at the bank.
And the bank, Legacy Texas Bank, began in the early 60s.
Early 60s, right. So 1962, I believe.
And the big story now with Legacy Texas Bank is the merger that I think you mentioned took about 14 months to put together with Viewpoint
Correct.
Bank. Let's talk about that merger a little bit first before we talk about cars. Tell us how that went, how that came together, and where you are right now.
So Kevin Hannigan was the CEO of Viewpoint Bank, and he approached us about joining forces. Legacy had a commercial platform, and it was where Viewpoint was wanting to go towards. We were not looking to do a sale at that point in time. It took some months of courting for us to be convinced that this was a good opportunity. And Kevin and his management team did see very eye to eye with our management team, and they had excess capital and room to grow. And we really thought the combination of the two, both being based in the Plano market specifically, but in North Texas in general, could create a really great organization for North Texas.
Well, both banks had a little different direction. What are the current ventures, or what direction will the bank go into now?
So our big focus is commercial right now. We have a great retail base based on both histories of the companies, Legacy a little over 50 years old and Viewpoint over 60 years old. But our big focus is commercial. That's where the growth is. Dallas-Fort Worth is a growing market. And we feel we have a lot of opportunity there, you know, to get well past $6 billion pretty quickly.
So you are larger than you were when you're just by yourself. You've added everything you have with Viewpoint Bank. So we're going to be seeing a lot more of Legacy Texas Bank.
That's correct.
And you mentioned before we started that your new logo is kind of a piece of both. You have a new star, which was similar to what Viewpoint Bank was, but you kept your font for Legacy Texas Bank.
That's correct. And we wanted something that, branding-wise, everybody could identify with from both organizations. I think we wound up with a good compromise on that. It looks nice. The advertising and the marketing materials and our branding image is really very clean. We're real excited about it. We just rolled it out in mid-February, so it's still fairly new for everybody.
And we talked a little bit before the show started about a little bit about consolidation. Will there be much consolidation closing some branches that are too close to each other?
There was about four branches that we consolidated.
So it wasn't too many.
No, it was not many considering we were both based in Plano. We really didn't have that much overlap, which was good. It gives us a great footprint to go forward with.
And all the signs are up. It's now officially Legacy Texas Bank.
That's correct.
Everywhere.
Yep, everywhere. So it's great. We've got some top of building signage in our new headquarters location in the Shops of Legacy, and then we're also top of building signage downtown Fort Worth in our what was Legacy's old location down there.
Now, you mentioned to me your breadth of locations. Tell everybody where you're located from north to south, east to west.
So we cover the Metroplex pretty well. We're as far west as Weatherford. We go as far north as Frisco and McKinney, Garland, and down through Dallas, Richardson, all through the central Collin County, Dallas County markets, down through Oak Cliff. So we try and cover everything. I think we've got some holes to fill in Tarrant County still, but we're making good progress.
So we'll see Legacy Texas Bank continue to grow. Let's move to the Shelby name, because your father was Carroll Shelby, and you are assisting Shelby and Ford with a few things. Talk about that and how you're involved with what your grandfather did.
So it's interesting. I grew up around him. He was not your typical grandfather by any means. You know, when I was a kid in the 80s, he was working with Chrysler and Dodge, and that's when I really put together what he did and what his history was. And it's been great to grow up around. I was very close to him. Always loved the car business. Just didn't find a way to get involved in it too much. So since his passing in 2012, Ford was wanting a Shelby face to represent the Shelby side of the relationship going forward. So they nominated myself, which has really been a lot of fun. I go to some of the car shows, some of the auctions, and do a lot of work actually with Henry Ford III, who's an up-and-coming younger generation Ford member there in that organization. We do some PR together on new car announcements, In November, we announced a new Shelby GT350 coming out later this year, and we were both there for that. It's really been a lot of fun.
Well, we were talking a little bit about your grandfather's background without going all into that. He started out as became a race car driver in the 50s and started working on cars in the 60s. So give us a little of the transition of what the first car he worked with, and then as he moved into the manufacturers.
So his later racing career in the late 50s, he was in Europe primarily, and he had seen a car in England called the AC Ace, and this was in the early 60s. And he decided when he got back, he started calling on Ford and said, you know, I've got this great car I found. It was an underpowered four-cylinder engine. We can really do something. We can get a Ford big block engine in this thing. And Ford kind of shoved him aside a couple of times and finally said, okay, just go play with this. We'll give you a little bit of money and a few engines to play with. Well, that was the origination of the Shelby Cobra in first model year 1962, and really just took off from there. I think it did more than he expected, more than Ford expected. And that just grew through the 60s. It was the beginning of the muscle car era, as you were saying earlier. And, he got involved with the Mustang side after the Mustang was introduced in late 64. The Shelby GT350 was the first 65 model.
So he worked with Ford first, then went over the Chrysler side later on.
Correct. Yeah, he stayed with Ford through the 60s and through about 1970. He finished up his career with Ford. Through the 70s, he was fairly entrepreneurial and did a number of different things. And then when Lee Iacocca came into Chrysler in the early 80s, when the government bailed Chrysler out, he called Carroll up and said, hey, we worked together at Ford real well. Let's get back together at Chrysler and do the same thing. So it wasn't quite exactly the same, but it was really the idea was there and the branding helped him.
Well, let's bring back to the present right now, because the name Shelby is not going away, and annually you have a car show. Let's talk about that car show coming up in June.
Definitely. We put it on in conjunction with the Shelby Cobra Association of Texas, who's celebrating their 25th anniversary this year. There's Shelby clubs all around the country, and that happens to be the local club. And Carroll's kind of the honorary member of that was his first club. So this is our sixth year to do the car show. It's grown every year. We do it at Legacy's old headquarters because it lays out nicely at Preston and Legacy. This year will be June 27th. Last year was the biggest show we had. Over 250 Shelby cars showed up. We probably had about 3,500 people come through. It's a Saturday morning, 10 to 2.
And how about the family cars? You have a few family cars you're going to show too?
We do. We're real excited this year. Earlier this year, my father was able to acquire Carroll's first race car. It was a 1949 MG that Carroll raced in 1952. Run his first race in that car, and it came up for auction earlier this year, and we were able to acquire that. So we're going to have that car there. It's in great shape. We've got a couple other original Shelbys that we'll bring as well, and then we've got a couple special things we're working on also that should be a fun surprise.
That's amazing that your father found the original car that his father started racing that old MG. Well, you were going to be celebrating 50 years of the Mustang GT350. And we were talking, again, before the show started, and I was a little confused about the GTs. There was a GT40 and there was a GT350. Tell us again, or tell our listeners, what that stood for.
So the GT350 was the Mustang, the sports Mustang variation that Carroll created the 1965 model year. And
that was the first Shelby, Mustang Shelby?
Correct. Okay. That's correct. And he had his facility in Los Angeles. It was actually near LAX airport at that point in time. And they didn't have a name for the car. They wanted something sporty, and they couldn't come up with anything. Well, they determined it was 350 steps between the two buildings he operated out of, and so they called it the GT350. And Carroll said at the time, the name doesn't matter. You know, that won't make the car. The car's going to make the name, and sure enough, that's what happened.
And it did stick. But the GT40 was a car that Henry Ford the second came up with because he was attempting to purchase Ferrari in the early 60s but couldn't. So talk about that story a little bit.
So he decided since Ferrari would not sell out to Ford that he wanted to go beat Ferrari on the racetrack. So he poured a lot of resources at Ford into making a car that they could go to, specifically Le Mans 24-hour race was the big race that everybody showed their technology off at. And so he created the GT40, and it was a sleek sports car. Ford had done nothing like that previously. And the car was great, but they went over in 65 and they didn't win. They had issues with that. They called Carroll and said, would you come over and run the race team in 66? And sure enough, they did, and they beat Ferrari, and it was, you know, the rest was history. Carroll actually won Le Mans as a driver and as a team owner and as a car manufacturer through the Cobras. So it was a great piece of his history.
When you take a look at some of the names in the automotive history, there aren't that many in the United States that wasn't a manufacturer. And outside of Shelby, I can't think of many more. He had a tremendous impact on muscle cars and racing in the United States.
He really did. And I think his great success in the 60s, he would have told you in early 70s, he just looked back and said that was history. It would never happen again. And then when he got brought back into it in the 80s and then the 90s and more recently with Ford again, I think he was always surprised at the longevity of what he created in the 60s generated around the racing world and the manufacturing world.
Well, tell everybody one more time exactly when the car show is and the time.
Sure. The car show is going to be June 27th, and it's the Saturday after Father's Day. It'll be from 10 to 2, and it's at 5000 Legacy Drive, which is Legacy in Preston in Plano.
And that's the corporate office for Legacy Texas Bank.
That is our old corporate office. We still have a branch there, and we operate out of there still.
And that, correct me if I'm wrong, that is the southwest corner of Legacy and Dallas Parkway, is that correct?
Southwest corner of Legacy and Preston.
Preston, that's right. So yep. Make sure that that's where it is. Tell everybody where they can find out more about Legacy Texas Bank.
So we have our redone website, which really looks nice and I believe is easy to navigate. It's www.legacytexas.com. And you can find out plenty of information as far as locations, how to contact us on there, business services that we offer, retail services that we offer.
Where can people get the information about the car show? Is that also linked to the bank website?
So we also have – we should have a link on the website for that. There is a Shelby Car Show Facebook page as well that we post announcements on. For those that want to register to bring their car, you can go to the Facebook page there. Again, it's Shelby Car Show. And there will be more announcements coming fairly soon on how to register and the numbers of people and get your slots set up.
So make sure you put June 27th on your calendar. Aaron, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
Great information about Legacy Texas Bank and Carol Shelby. This has been a terrific show. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been great having our guests on the show. Join us all at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. And we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.